We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's April 11th. It is 2024. We have a 5-game baseball slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Riding solo today for the podcast. Still live on YouTube. What's up, YouTube? Hope everyone's having a fantastic Wednesday night. Going to do something a little different on the YouTube show, try it out, test it out on these smaller slates and see what you guys think. I'm going to kind of just go through like my first look process of kind of looking at Plate IQ and looking at matchups and showing my screen as I am trying to break down the slate for you all. So let me know in the comments or in chat whether or not you like this format or not. And I typically just record audio when I do solo podcasts, but wanted to try this out tonight, you know? Got to evolve, right? Got to have some fun, and we'll see how this kind of works out. And if you guys like it, maybe I'll do it in the future. So, yeah, 5 games, potential weather in the Cincinnati and Detroit games. But again, we don't look at weather. We let Kevin Roth do that. We do have morning shows for Grinders Live and Crunch Time tomorrow. I know I don't off the top of my head remember who's going to be on Grinders Live. I think it's Dean and Blender. I could be wrong, but Crunch Time is me, Cheese, and Roth doing Crunch Time tomorrow morning for this slate. So I'll give you my first look here and my final look on Crunch Time, which is free over there on the Roto Grinders live page and on the Roto Grinders YouTube. Again, hope everyone is having a fantastic Wednesday night. Let's break down this early day baseball slate. We get started with Mets and Braves. We got Jose Quintana and Alan Winans. This is the game and matchup that we were supposed to see yesterday. Got rained out. Weather looks a little bit better. Hopefully it kind of holds off here. 9.5 total. Atlanta, a 162 favorite, starting here with Jose Quintana. Really tough matchup. We talked about this yesterday in the podcast for Quintana. You know, this is a guy that really just doesn't strike people out, doesn't miss bats in general. We look at his swinging strike rate last year. It was 9% through his first two starts this season. He's currently sitting at 4.8% swinging strikes. So just not missing any bats, getting hit pretty hard, and not a guy that I want to play against one of the best offenses in baseball. So going to pass on him. I will say, like, before the rain kind of ruled this game out, I did a little bit more digging on Winans and kind of just got some more thoughts on him, which I gladly share. So we saw him a little bit last year. He had good strikeout stuff. Struggled a little bit with the deep ball, which, I mean, is definitely concerning. You know, when we get outside of Citi Field for the Mets, they do have some power in this lineup. If you look at it, you know, hard hit rates through the roof against right-handed pitching. They play in a really bad ballpark for hitting. So, you know, Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, Beatty, DJ Stewart's a strikeout or power guy. So I think overall for me on win-ins, it really kind of depends on if we get Scoble and Lopez or not. I think I have win-ins as like number four or number five on this slate. It's only a five-game slate, so I'll probably only make like two or three lineups on each site today. I won't go crazy here. I feel like I'll be able to get like the exposure I want to the batters and pitchers I want through like one to three teams today. So, you know, small slate like this, day baseball, just kind of enjoy watching baseball as I work on some NASCAR stuff here on Thursday. So as far as the bats here for the Mets, again, like, I don't mind the Mets. I think that they're a team that just kind of goes overlooked because they play half of their games in a really bad ballpark. But Nimmo, Alonso, Beatty, I don't mind like a DJ Stewart type upside play. Like, you know, looking at these numbers, like Nimmo, 232 ISO, Pete Alonso, 273 ISO, Francisco Alvarez, 246 ISO, Stewart, 291 ISO. So, like, they have plenty of power in this lineup. We talked about it on the podcast yesterday. Lindor is off to a very slow start, so he might be somebody that I don't play a lot of. But, I mean, kind of looking at this season and looking at Lindor, the K rate's still down, the walk rate's up. He's still seeing the ball well. When he's making contact, it's hard contact. He's just hitting the ball in the air a lot, so he's just not getting the barrel round on the ball, but he has a .038 BABIP. Like, he's just hitting the ball to people on everything that he hits. So, like, eventually Lindor is going to start finding gaps. He's going to start hitting balls over the fence and, you know, really taking advantage of this massive hard hit rate that he has against right-handed pitching. So I don't know if I necessarily want to fade him if I'm playing Mets because, I mean, the underlining numbers definitely suggest that we got some positive regression coming here. I mean, normal BABIP, like league average BABIP, is usually around like 300, and he is sitting at 38. So a lot of positive regression coming when it comes to Francisco Lindor. Going to the other side here, Jose Quintana is definitely somebody I want to pick on this slate. The Braves are expensive. We don't really have great cheap pitching options. Like, I say great, there's hardly any option down there. I mean, you could potentially play Hunter Brown and potentially play John Gray, but you don't feel good about playing either one of those guys. So, you know, just kind of looking at this Atlanta stack, it's uncomfortable. But I mean, if you play like Duvall, Darnot, and Arcia, and then just take, you know, two of the expensive bats, I feel like you could potentially make it work. But, you know, looking at the stats here, obviously a ton of interest. I mean, this is one of the best teams in baseball against left-handed pitching. So I always talk about Arcia. I absolutely love him against left-handed pitching. They did have Trump in the lineup, and if he's back in there, he's only like 2,500. So if they do give Darnot the day off, even though they kind of had a day off on Wednesday because of the rainout, if he's back in there, I think you could potentially take shots on him just because of how cheap he is. You could do like an Arcia, Chadwick, Acuna, Albies, Riley wraparound stack. But I mean, I love Ozuna. He's one of my favorite hitters on the entire slate. So I definitely don't want to overthink not getting exposure to Ozuna. I love this spot for him. Austin Riley, a guy that I absolutely love against left-handed pitching. So again, Jose Quintana, he doesn't typically get like blown up, but he doesn't miss bats. And if you're not missing bats against Atlanta, daytime game should have really decent weather here. So, yeah, I mean, definitely interested in the Braves bats. Milwaukee at Cincinnati. This game has an 8.5 total. Milwaukee's a 126 favorite. Freddie Peralta and Nick Martinez facing off against each other here. We'll start here with Nick Martinez. Or no, Freddie Peralta, sorry. I get backwards sometimes. Freddie Peralta, I think, is probably one of the top pitchers on the slate. Like him and Scoble, if Scoble's weather is okay and this weather is okay, those are the two guys I'm going to try to get to on this slate because I think they just have – their ceiling is just so far above everybody else today. So, yeah, I mean, Freddy Peralta, absolutely love this spot. The strikeouts are there. You know, we look at it and Steer, Encarnacion Strand, Candelario, Fairchild, Ellie De La Cruz, Benson, Luke Molly, like they're all over 20% Ks against righties. And we know that Freddy Peralta just kind of dominates right-handed hitters, like 36% Ks last season, 16.1% swinging strikes for Peralta against righties. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely love this spot. Really liked him last start against Seattle. And, I mean, he pitched well. You know, gave up a few runs and just kind of didn't get there. But going right back to the well on Freddy Peralta, his strikeout stuff is too good here. So definitely very interested in playing him in this spot. On the other side of this game, Nick Martinez. I don't want to play Nick Martinez. I see Yeezy in chat talking about the Brewers. If the weather was better, like my daughter had volleyball on Wednesday night, so like I couldn't really follow the weather. So I ended up dropping down to like a single entry team. And if the weather was better, one of my builds was in Milwaukee stack. So I'm kind of sad that, you know, I wasn't able to track the weather and couldn't take advantage of it. But I honestly throughout the day got off of Hunter Green and, you know, started to like Milwaukee more and more throughout the day. And I'm definitely going back to the well here. Nick Martinez is not somebody I'm scared of ever. You know, he was okay last year, but again, he pitched mostly out of the bullpen. He's just not good. He's not good. Really struggled against the Mets and the Nationals, and the Brewers are one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. So I'm going to pass on playing Nick Martinez here. Yeah, I mean, I like the Brewers a lot. Like looking at the bats here, absolutely love the price tags. Like I keep talking about Terang. He's someone that has like stolen base upside. You know, you can play Yelich. He looks healthy and he's just smashing the baseball right now. So Yelich keeps hitting. I think he had another home run. So it's like 3 home runs in his last 5 and 4 home runs in his last 7, I think. So absolutely love Christian Yelich here. You know, he would definitely be like the backbone. And it's just how long can Yelich's back hold up is kind of the question always. So, but if he's in there and until he kind of proves us different, I like him here. And then really just kind of looking at this team in general, I really like this team. Like we'll see who's in there between Perkins, Frelick, Dunn, like these guys, all of these guys have like the potential to crack the lineup. So like the stack is just going to be like lineup based, but you start your stack here with Yelich, Adames, and just kind of build from there. But definitely a stack you want to get exposure to. They're cheap. They're going to help you get the pitching that you want on this slate. So, I mean, they're stealing bases. Love, like, the upside for the stolen bases as well. Jackson Chirino, like, he's another guy that can steal bases with Terang. So you could do, like, a 9-1 stolen base upside stack there with Yelich and Adames and whether it be Frelick, Perkins, or Bowers, who you kind of finish it out with. So, I mean, you're getting Jake Bowers at 3K here if he cracks the lineup. And I know he's off to kind of a slow start this season, but his biggest thing is, like, strikeouts, right? And if we look at Nick Martinez's stuff just in general, he doesn't have, like, that dominating pitch against lefties. So Bowers is going to hit the ball hard, right? He's, you know, 58% hard hit rate against righties since the start of last year, almost an 18% barrel rate. So looking at Bowers in this matchup is fantastic, right? Because it's a low strikeout pitcher. It's a very hittable pitcher. So if Jake Bowers cracks the lineup, like he's a guy you're looking for home run chasing at 3K today at first base. So like the Brewers, going to be definitely one of my favorite stacks on this slate. I absolutely love them today. Going to the other side, I like the Reds in general. I don't think I'll play the Reds today. I think just going to kind of play, like I said, 1-3 teams, and I'm just going to play Peralta. I love the talent of Peralta. Talk about him all the time. So I just don't see the upside. There's a lot of strikeouts. There's a lot of power, right? Like this game is in Cincinnati. So like the upside is the ballpark Freddie Peralta is a guy that, you know, sometimes will have those like fly ball tendencies. So like you might get one or two home runs here chasing for Cincinnati, but they're expensive, right? Like Elly De La Cruz, 58, Steer, 54, India, 44. They're just an expensive stack. And Carshon Strand has started the season awful. You know, if we look at just his numbers from this season, look, I mean, the dude is just 184 WOBA, 33% Ks. Look at the strikeout rate for this team this season. If you're hanging out live with me on YouTube, look at PlayDeck for the strikeouts here. This team is just, it's all small samples, but they're striking out at such a huge clip that like Peralta's strikeout upside in this matchup is just phenomenal. So I think this is definitely a spot we want to get some exposure to Peralta. And I, like I said, I'm just going to be off the Rays in this matchup, or the Reds Rays. Minnesota at Detroit, hoping the weather holds up here. It's 6.5 total. Detroit's a slight favorite. It's, you know, pretty much a pick 'em game in this one. We got Pablo Lopez, Tarik Skubal in this one. And I mean, obviously always very interested in Skubal. We'll talk about him in just a second. Let's start here with Pablo Lopez. Pablo Lopez is a guy where he's hit or miss. He's consistently solid. He really struggled against Cleveland because he doesn't like necessarily have a ton of like overpowering strikeout stuff. He has good strikeout stuff. And he definitely struggles with strikeouts a lot more against lefties. So I think Pablo Lopez is definitely in play. You know, we got to remember it's a 5-game slate here today. So he's definitely in play in this spot. And overall for me, I think that this is a spot you could definitely take some shots on Lopez. It just kind of depends, right? Like this is a team that if they go left-handed heavy could potentially get to him. But I mean, even like their lefties aren't great. Like, you know, Kerry Carpenter's solid, but I mean, Parker Meadows is not great. Riley Green is really solid. They just don't have a lot of good left-handed hitters in this lineup. So, that, I mean, that's one of the reasons that I like Lopez. And one of the reasons that the total in this game is just so low. The other side here, Skubal, always like Skubal. I believe so much in the talent of him. I think that he is an elite pitcher and his stuff is elite. So you already know that I'm going to be playing Skubal against Minnesota. They have one of the highest strikeout rates in baseball this season. So lefties, they're going to leave some of these lefties in there. Like Julian should play. Kirilloff might play. But even the righties that are in this lineup, Buxton strikes out a ton. So you love that. If Jeffers catches, he strikes out a bunch. So, I mean, Skubal just has the potential to dominate in this matchup. And, I mean, with 1-3 teams, he's just going to be that guy for me. I'm not even going to overthink this. I'm just going to play a lot of Skubal and just hope that he has his stuff today. As far as bats here, I mean, on the Minnesota side, like if you want a one-off a Buxton or a Correa, sure. I mean, I'm probably not going to. Like I said, I'm just going to kind of commit to playing a lot of Skubal. It just doesn't really struggle. Like he gives up some hard hits to righties. But, I mean, he also strikes out righties at a 36% clip. I mean, Buxton, maybe. But, like, for me, building three teams, I just don't see myself getting a lot of exposure here to Minnesota. And, honestly, on the Detroit side, I don't have a ton of interest in them as well. Look at the team. I mean, Lopez is solid. Riley Green at 4,200, I think, is an okay one-off in this spot. Considering that like his price is down, I mean, this is a guy that started the season almost 5K. He's starting to finally get it going at the plate, and like he's a guy that I feel like can give Lopez a fit. So if anything, maybe taking a shot here on Riley Green at this like very favorable price tag.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Houston at Kansas City, 9 total in this game. Houston's a 134 favorite. We got Hunter Brown and Brady Singer facing off against each other here. You know, so for me, I mean, I'm on the fence on Hunter Brown just because we don't really have a ton of cheap options on the slate. And like, I feel like if Hunter Brown is pitching well, like he has the upside to get there. Last season, we saw Hunter Brown really kind of pitch well to righties with strikeouts, and you know, lefties, he had good strikeout stuff against lefties. So, I mean, looking at what he uses a cutter splitter fastball combo against lefties. His cutter, I mean, that's the pitch that kind of gets hit pretty hard here. You know, Woba around 500, ISO 400. So, like, he probably should throw less cutters against lefties and throw more splitters because his splitter is not getting hit hard at all. So, I mean, you know, that's a correction that's potentially there for Hunter Brown. I'm on the fence. Like I said, I'm on the fence when it comes to Hunter Brown, more of like, we just don't have a ton of cheap options. And I think Hunter Brown is usable. Kansas City solid. I mean, they're not a bad offense by any means here. You know, if we look at, again, it's a pretty small sample size because the season's so young and hate looking at just the season, but I mean, Kansas City's 12th in WRC plus. Their strikeout rate's like 21.4%, which isn't terrible. They have a lot of home runs against right-handed pitching this season. They're 180 ISO. So, I mean, overall, Kansas City really hasn't been bad against right-handed pitching. You know, Bobby Witt's been great. Garcia, there was an article on Baseball Savant that, like, Garcia is just hitting everything, like, extremely hard this year. Like, 52% hard hits this year. Bobby Witt, Perez hitting the ball hard, Melendez hitting the ball hard. So, I mean, this StatCast data for these guys, like, everybody's hitting the ball hard. They're hitting the ball in the air too. So like, I could see potentially playing some Hunter Brown. I can also see stacking Kansas City, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Singer on the other side of this game, tough matchup for Brady Singer. You all know that I like the talent for Singer. I talk about it all the time. I think he's very talented. I think he's very underrated just in general. So far this season, he's been great, right? Like, his swinging strike rate is way up. Trying to pull up stats on the fly here for Brady Singer. But, I mean, the only thing that I'm a little concerned about with, like, his inflated strikeout rate here is he faced Chicago White Sox and Minnesota Twins. That's two of the highest strikeout teams in baseball against right-handed pitching, you know, dating back to last year as well. So, I don't know, like, 29% strikeout rate here through first couple games. This is not sustainable, even though I, like, believe in the talent. Like, his slider last season generated 33% whiffs, and right now it's generating 50% whiffs to start the season. So, kind of think that's going to come down a little bit. You know, looking at his slider from like this year to last year, very, very close horizontal and vertical movement towards last year and the year before that, you know, kind of looking even further back. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I don't know if we want to really take too much into account outside the fact that he just faced two bad offenses. And, you know, he's really pitched well in that aspect. His velocity kind of around the same. His off-speed velocity is kind of around the same. I think this is more of like he just had two really good matchups. Like this dude is not striking out 10% more hitters than he did last year. And, you know, even if we go back to like 2021, 2020, 2022, he was like a 22 to 24% K guy. So even if he's striking out a little bit more than last year's 19%, we're still looking at 5% higher than what he's ever done. So I think it was matchups. All that to say, I don't really have a ton of interest. I mean, if he can pitch around the top half of this lineup, he could do really well. And I don't know if he'll have a ton of ownership on a five-game slate. And I mean, he's an above-average pitcher. So, Houston bats. I mean, what we've seen from Brady Singer in the past is he gives up a lot of hard contact. If you're giving up a lot of hard contact to Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, even like Altuve, Diaz has been hitting the ball extremely hard this season. So like, if you're giving up hard contact to these guys, they're just too good, right? Like, so I like the potential upside of Alvarez and Tucker. Don't know if I full stack Houston. I think it would be more of a mini type of stack, or like building like a 4-4 or 3-3-2 or something like that. As far as the Kansas City bats go, I have interest, right? Like Hunter Brown is a guy that's like hittable. And again, like we just looked at it, right? We looked at the data for this team to start the season and they're hitting the ball super hard, right? Garcia, Witt, Vinny, Perez, Melendez, they're all hitting the ball hard. They're getting barrels. I mean, look at this. I know Vinny had a barrel today because he hit a home run, but you know, we're getting barrels. Melendez, 30% barrel rate. Like that's not going to stick up, but like 30% barrels, 65% hard hits, 50% fly balls from Melendez. That's home run chasing at its finest right there. So I think one of my three teams, I definitely want to get some Kansas City exposure today because I like the potential upside on a five-game slate. I don't think they get the same type of ownership as like Milwaukee, Atlanta. We haven't even got to talk about Texas against JP Sears yet. So I think the ownership-wise, Kansas City's a really interesting ownership stack today. Hoping that they potentially fly under the radar because it's a five-game slate here on the daytime. Oakland at Texas is where we finish it out. You see me shifting back and forth on PlateIQ. PlateIQ usually loads about 2 or 3 a.m. Eastern, so kind of looking back through the last couple days to kind of get an idea of where we're at with some of these pitchers facing teams that like line up. So if you're ever curious, 9.5 total, Texas a 188 favorite, JP Sears, John Gray facing off against each other here. We got JP Sears, not a guy that we want to play. Very low strikeout guy overall. Gives up a ton of fly balls. Gives up a ton of hard contact too. Like this, Texas is definitely one of the top stacks on the slate today. For what it's worth, they're one of my favorite stacks. Love this spot. I assume that like we see Wyatt Langford back in the lineup here. I assume that he'll be back. He's definitely somebody that I like in this spot. So I definitely want to get exposure to him. I want exposure to Duren. I want exposure to Simeon. Oh, we're still talking. We haven't talked about John Gray. Sorry, got ahead of myself. Like Texas, we'll talk about them in a second. The Oakland side here John Gray. What to do with John Gray? Gosh, you love the matchup, right? You love the matchup against Oakland. They kind of stink, but John Gray has been atrociously bad to start the season. He's walking people at a very high clip. Everything that's been hit off of him this season to start the year has been hard against lefties, so you're obviously concerned about that a little bit. But, I mean, he had two really tough matchups to start the year. I'm not making excuses for John Gray, but started the season against the Cubs. Got absolutely pummeled in that game. Then had to face Houston. Got absolutely crushed in that game. The walks are the biggest concern for me on John Gray. And, like, you kind of hope that he starts throwing and trying to get ahead a little bit. Yeah, just kind of looking through some of the data here on John Gray, like, he's not throwing strikes. That's obviously, you got to do that, John. You got to do that. I mean, looking at it, though, like, his whiffs are okay. His swing and misses are okay. Not getting any chase, but, like, that is, I feel like, a lot of what we just seen for two. Yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's just he needs to start trying to get ahead on hitters. I mean, that's obviously going to be something that is going to help him. Pitching from behind every single at-bat is not good. But looking at some of his advanced stuff, it's not as bad as kind of I expected it to be. You know, some of his ex-WOBA stuff is actually okay. I mean, so maybe a little bit of exposure, like maybe one of three teams, just because, like, he's facing Oakland. He's 6,500. Like, right, this is the price point here for John Gray is the intriguing part. Like, right, I feel like if you're playing a cheap pitcher, you're kind of debating on, do I roll out John Gray or do I roll out Hunter Brown? I think that's the conversation, right? Maybe I think Winans gets ownership, but again, I don't necessarily love him against the Mets. I think John Gray is playable today. And I mean, it pains me to say that, but I think he's someone you just kind of hope that the strikes are there, right? Like, you hope that he throws some strikes, hope that, you know, with this much better matchup, I mean, 15 points from John Gray might be enough today. And I think that's super doable. So five innings. Potentially, you hope. Jesse, James, what other sites do y'all use for research? So, I mean, I'd say 90% of what I do is here on PlayDeck U. So you're watching live because you're in chat. So I use a lot of PlayDeck U stuff, you know, wait for it to get updated throughout the day. I'll go in and I'll use, you know, what kind of pitches John Gray's throwing. And like, if I really want to dig into it, like, how does this team perform against fastballs? Because he throws, you know, fastball 46% of the time. So, you know, looking at it, there's some power against fastballs. And then, you know, hey, how do they perform against sliders? Well, now I'm seeing the strikeouts. So we need John Gray to get ahead of counts with using the fastball / curveball and then really try to put them away here with the slider, because that's going to be a strikeout pitch against this team. Looking at the strikeout rates here, he's really going to have to attack them with the slider to get strikeouts. So pitching ahead, which he hasn't been able to do this year. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can use on PlayDeck U. I mean, you can get into looking at bullpen stuff. So Texas's bullpen last year, solid. They've really struggled with lefties this season to start the year. So that's something to kind of make note for, but they've allowed no barrels so far. You know, going to the Oakland bullpen, we know that they were one of the worst bullpens in baseball last year, just historically bad. They've obviously pitched a little bit better out of the bullpen this year, but still not, like, fantastic. So just kind of using the tools available, right? So, I mean, there's a ton of stuff you can use. So, yeah, but all that to say, like, 90% of what I do is available through PlayDeck U. And then the other 10%, Baseball Savant, some fan graphs, leaderboard stuff. But Baseball Savant, like, if I'm digging into a pitcher and I really kind of want to know what's different and what's going on, I'll use Baseball Savant. So I think that is something that is huge. It's one of the best tools available out there for people researching baseball. So there you go. I mean, PlayDeck U, like I said, absolutely love PlayDeck U. Hopefully that answers your question, Jesse. Like, smaller slate, I could take a second to answer your question. There you go. Bats. Oakland bats here. I mean, if John Gray doesn't have his stuff, obviously he's a guy that's very hittable. So, like, if you're playing John Gray on one of three, you're probably getting exposure to Oakland on one of three. You don't have to play a lot of them. I mean, Seth Brown, Nada, and then Blade would be like my three favorites here. Is Toro? Nada's banged up. I didn't realize he was day-to-day. he's 3,100, but he's day-to-day. Left hand injury. Toro's still 2,500. So, I mean, you're potentially getting the third baseman in this game is potentially going to be like the chalky cheap third baseman, because I assume Wendell will start at 2,100 here against the lefty. I like StatCast data more, Andrew. I mean, I love Fangraphs. No shade whatsoever. I love Fangraphs. I just love StatCast data more than like traditional data. And I feel like it's easier to navigate StatCast data on Baseball Savant and PlayDeck U. That's why I use that a little bit more. But yeah, Oakland bats. I mean, if I'm playing Oakland, it's because I want cheaper bats. So like Blade, like I said, 3,500. If not, is in there. He's 31. Brown is 3K. I mean, Oakland's just not a great team. Geloff is okay. Texas bats. Gosh, love Texas again. I mean, can they let us down again? I feel like the answer is probably yes, but we got to do it right. The Yankees. What are the Yankees doing? The Rangers had an okay game. I mean, they put up some runs, but like it all came in the first like three or four innings in that game, and then they didn't really do much the rest of the game. I like the Rangers here. Again, JP Sears, not a guy that I am worried about. I mean, this guy is just not getting the ball by anybody this year or last year. So whoever kind of cracks the lineup here, Garcia would be a top hitter. Simeon's a top hitter. Wenzel, like I said, he's going to be minimum salary. You like him. Wyatt Langford is someone that I like. He's, again, like, we look at Wyatt Langford, and he's still hitting the ball hard. 50% of the time, he's hitting the ball hard. 75% up in the air. It's very small sample size, but you got to love that. Duren is good against lefties. So, you know, like him, assuming that he cracks the lineup as well. So, yeah, any of these righties, and pricing-wise, like, Texas stack is definitely priced appropriate. Heim is another guy that I really like against lefties. If he starts again today, we'll see if he's in there, or they use Kisner. And like, even like Kisner has power against lefties. So like, if he catches, he's cheaper at 3,100, but I like Heim more. So there you go. All right. Fun stuff. Let's play the morning grind game. It's a little tougher today. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Give me John Gray. I think he can really attack this Oakland lineup with his slider if he wants to, and he throws strikes. But I think he has the best chance to get there as far as strikeouts. Over 8K to score under 15. I'm going to go Brady Singer. You all know that I really like Brady Singer. I just don't like this matchup for him. A lot of left-handed power in this lineup, and I think he might struggle there. For some reason, Houston doesn't have a lot of lefties in the lineup. Maybe we take some shots on Singer. Over 4K to hit a home run today. I'm going to say my boy Christian Yelich stays hot in this game. Absolutely love Christian Yelich in this spot. So give me Yelich to stay hot and hit another home run today. Under 4K. To get two hits, I think I'm going to go bottle barrel here, 2,100. Davis Wenzel should draw the start here and get, I think he has a good chance to get his first major league hit in this spot. JP Sears is not a guy that really blows the ball by anybody. Really liked him against Alex Wood, and then Alex Wood like threw like three or four innings the other day, and it kind of stunk. But I expect JP Sears to throw a little bit longer in the game. So, yeah, I like Wenzel at 2,100. Stack to score six or more runs. Absolutely love Milwaukee today. The Brewers in a fantastic spot. So going to be playing some of the Brew Crew. As far as betting, not I didn't see really any props out yet, which is concerning. Night before, I have been ice cold. Listen, you all know I am very honest when it comes to this kind of stuff. Always have been. I have been ice cold with my baseball bets. Like, I just, stuff that I felt like so good about just hasn't been working. Again, like, I thought Jordan Hicks strikeouts in that Washington game was fantastic, and he just didn't have the strikeout stuff today. So been ice cold, but that's not going to stop me from doing my process and posting picks. Hey, we'll get it going. We'll get it back. baseball is 200 slates. We're going to get it back. But yeah, I mean, for me overall, line wise here, nothing like jumping off the page to me. If anything, let's look. Actually, I kind of do like something. Let me look what the odds are really quick. I do like this one. All right, so let's go to. Yeah, I like this one a lot. So, Milwaukee, Cincinnati. I'm going to take Milwaukee minus a half a run at plus 112 for the first five innings here. I like this. Nick Martinez against Freddie Peralta, and we're getting plus money on the Brewers, one of the hottest offenses in baseball. Give me, yeah, I like this one. That'd be my bet that I give out today. We're going to go first five here for Milwaukee. I'm putting this in myself. That's why I'm like, first five. Yep. Milwaukee minus a half a run. You could take the money line if you don't. I mean, you can get it at bet 365 for minus 115. But I like them enough where I'm definitely going to just go ahead and full on take the run. I think they're going to be up in this game. And yeah, I like this a lot. So that's my morning grind bet for today. Let's get back on track. I'm feeling it. I like it. I love this matchup for the Brewers. And I think Freddie Peralta has a lot of upside here. So yeah, let's get back on track. And you can get this at plus 112 over there on FanDuel. Hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow talking baseball. Let me know. Let me know in the comments below if you liked having Plate IQ up while I was breaking it down. Like I said, potentially when I'm doing solo podcasts, maybe I'll do live solo podcasts more this year. Let me know if you liked it. I don't typically do live solo podcasts because I like to pause every once in a while and I just talk for like 40 minutes straight. And I do that in NASCAR, but I still pause enough where I can take a breather for a second. So appreciate everyone hanging out. Let me know in the comments below. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Roto-Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page. But we're back tomorrow talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.